God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our message for today is based off of our epistle reading as St. Paul is describing to Timothy the reason for the word, that Timothy needs to continue in this word, continue proclaiming this word, because in this word there is life, in this word there is salvation, this word has power. But before we get into our text a little bit, let's first of all back up to the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy, Moses has a little bit of similar encouragement, but with different words. His encouragement to the people of Israel as they're going to enter the promised land, of course, is you're going to have to conquer the land. But by the way, the people there have different religion. Don't follow that religion. Don't sit there and say, come and gather and let's say, hey, let's go worship a new religion. You didn't come here today to start a new religion. Nor did you come here today to worship other gods. You came here to proclaim Christ and him crucified for all the world. This is our faith. So why would followers of God all of a sudden leave God to go and follow something else? Well, they may have been tempted. They may have done other things. They may have been wowed by the temples and the Asherah poles and the other things of the Old Testament. So Moses' warning needed to be heard. But they didn't always listen. The Old Testament is filled with the accounts and how the people of Israel did go into the promised land. God kept his promise, but the people did not always keep their promise. They chased after the, quote, foreign gods. Well, what about you? How many foreign gods have you chased after, so to speak? I will admit that you may be sitting there thinking, Pastor, what were you thinking? I've just been a Christian my whole life. I haven't chased after any foreign gods. Well, getting back to our text, let me just put this into check just a little bit. So just human my parallel here. St. Paul is telling Timothy, you need to be faithful to that word because in that word you have life. God created all the heavens and the earth with a word. The Gospel of John reminds us that word takes on flesh and blood and makes his dwelling among us. We have that word of God, and when that word of God is applied to water, we have holy baptism. When that word of God is applied to bread and wine, we have the body and blood of Christ with that bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins. That word of God is indeed very, very powerful and does great things. But as we're reminded in the commandments, that if we don't hang on to that word of God, we're breaking a commandment. We fall astray a little bit. And how does that look like? Not that we go down the street to the satanic church or to any other type of temple per se. Where that usually starts falling in is within our own mind. Do we truly believe God's word? Do we hang on to it with all our heart, soul, or strength? Let me put the question this way. What happens when various things of God's word come to our mind and we don't know what to do with it? I will admit this does indeed happen to us as Christians. Not that we're weak. Not that we haven't been taught well. We have to realize who we are. Yes, we are redeemed by Christ and him crucified. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit within our hearts. Yes, we have his name upon our forehead and upon our heart. But also realize who we are is that we have that sinful nature within us. That nature we inherited from Adam and Eve. And so there's a war going on within us. Sometimes we have doubts. Sometimes we might be thinking, well, where is that warm, fuzzy feeling that comes with inside of us as Christians? If you just permit for me one little humorous joke, and I have to name it as a little humorous joke. because I like to answer that question this way. If you want a warm, fuzzy feeling within me, if that's what I'm trying to seek, that's easy for me to do. I just wake up in the morning, go outside, turn the corner, go to my backyard garden, and grab a couple chili peppers. That'll give me my warm, fuzzy feeling within me. And if I really want a real good, warm, fuzzy feeling, it's not just two or three, it's more four or five. And if I want that warm, fuzzy feeling to last the whole day and maybe even to the next day, you get my idea here. No, you see, that's a warm, fuzzy feeling that I create for myself. God's word, however, doesn't necessarily say, I'm going to create for you warm, fuzzy feelings. God's word says, I'm going to give you life. And sometimes that life means we wake up and we feel cold and alone. Sometimes that life means that we're going to be rejected by the world around us. Sometimes that life may not be very pleasant at all, and we might be thinking, well, where is God? And the answer is, he's never left you. He is in that word. He is with you always. But I will admit, we just can't go up to God and give him a good bear hug. We can't necessarily shake God's hands, per se. Yes, God did take on flesh and blood, but he's not living next door to me, per se. So what happens when our mind sits there and says, I'd rather go after other things? God's truth says in his word, it's not about the fuzzy feeling. It's about what God has done for you and what God is continuing to do for you. It's about his death, about his resurrection. It is about repairing the broken relationship that sin has created between us and God. It's about baptism, the Lord's Supper. It's about all of things that God's word touches. So yes, are we sometimes going to struggle between man's truth, so to speak, and God's truth? The answer is yes, and that's because we have flesh and blood. It's because we have our sinful nature. It's because our minds are so wired and configured that we want things to fall into a perfect place. And if they're not perfectly arranged in our mind, we get frustrated. Let me illustrate that frustration this way. I will admit there's a certain thing that we have in Illinois now that I'm not 100% too happy with, but I guess it does work. It's whenever you get those, you know, two lanes that make a left or a right turn. You know, traditionally we're so used to the one lane. Now when they put two lanes making left or right turns, I don't know about you, but my fear is, does the person next door to me realize that we're going to be turning together? The reason why I have that fear is they don't always realize that. I just had this happen to me this last week, which was kind of interesting. We avoided a collision. That was nice. But as I was in front of the guy, I could see in my rearview mirror his ranting and raving at me. His arms were pretty prolific in not grabbing the wheel, but speaking verbiage that I couldn't necessarily hear with both sets of windows closed. And that's good. My ears were not offended. My eyes were. But anyway, getting beyond that. He thought in the back of his mind he was in his perfect right because there was only one lane that was in his mind. Having frequented that intersection, I knew there were two lanes making right turns. It doesn't happen very often, but I was kind of watching, making sure that he was going to do what he was supposed to do. He didn't. But that's okay, I wasn't offended either. Why? He didn't realize it, and we avoided the collision. He was perfectly justified with his truth, but his truth was wrong because he didn't fully understand everything. Same thing is true for us. Sometimes we might be arguing with God and throwing our hands up in the air and saying, God, why did you allow this? How could this happen? I thought we were supposed to be your sons and daughters. I thought this was supposed to be loving us. But we don't understand all things. But God does. And so we have to put our faith and trust in God's truth, in God's wisdom of all things, and realize that His word has a little different weight than my word. Another illustration to sort of make this point. You know, I go home and I have my family, and if I tell my daughters to do something, does it get done? Most of the time. If I tell my dog to do something, does it get done? Pretty good. But I don't have absolute authority, do I? Nor does it work with me either. If I sit there and say, you know, I'm gaining a few extra pounds here, ball, it's time to exercise, does it get done? No. Even my own thoughts and words don't even have authority, even within my own self. Thank you, Jesus, that it's not my word that creates salvation, but it's His word. The reason why is my word doesn't have that kind of authority. I cannot speak and make creation happen. I cannot have my words take on flesh and blood. If I speak words over water, my words, that is, it's not holy baptism. If it's God's word, that's a different story. Same thing with the Lord's Supper and bread and wine. It is His word that has authority, His word that has power. So Paul tells Timothy that God's word, Scripture, is breathed out by God. It is His word, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Okay, so Paul here challenges Timothy, hang on to that word, proclaim that word. But then here comes the hard part. Paul says sometimes people don't want to listen to that word. And the reason why we don't want to listen to the word is because sometimes that word doesn't make sense. Sometimes we just cannot put our head around that word. And so now what do? Do we cast doubts into God's aspect of creation? Do we doubt the cross and the resurrection? And the answer is no. The best we can do is say, okay, Lord, help me understand it, but if it's beyond my understanding, okay. Help me to let it go also. But to continue to trust it is God's word. This happens whenever us as human beings, who have a beginning and one day will have an end, try to wrap our minds around the eternal God who never had a beginning and will never have an end. A God who says, I will take on flesh and blood. A God who says, I love sinners. I will forgive you your sins. If it was up to the word of Bala here, I sometimes hold grudges. I'm not as good as forgiveness as my Savior is, thanks be to God, that our my Savior does truly forgive all sins. So this day, as we take a look at God's truth, we sit there and say, thank you, Lord, it's not man's truth. Our truth could never measure up. Our thoughts, our words could never be salvific. It could never forgive sins. It doesn't accomplish. But it is God's word that does accomplish what it purposes to do. It took Jesus to flesh, to the cross, for you, for me, for the entire world. So we thank our Lord and Savior for giving us His word. We thank St. Paul for encouraging Timothy in this word. And we ask our Lord to help us to be faithful to that word. Even though at times our human mind may try to wrestle with it, and we might lose, but we ask the Lord to continue to guard our hearts, our thoughts, our minds, and our actions, so that we may be faithful to Him. So this day we truly do pick up Paul's word to Timothy, in realizing that, yes, all scriptures are breathed out by God, and profitable for salvation. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.